everyone, this is Wired Wrestling. This is episode number 15. My name is the Iron Turk Atadizdar, and joining me once again is Iceman Dan. What's going on, dude?
How you doing? You know, coming off a big week in wrestling, and sports with the World Cup going on and Slammiversary on Sunday. So Anna and I are still recovering from all of that. We watched, and we'll get into this week also, 11 releases from the WWE. So it's been a bad week at up in Stamford, Connecticut for a bunch of people that lost their jobs, yeah, including WWE head writer, which we'll get into that later on. The leaders of the people that got released, McIntyre and Evan Bourne, but we'll get into that later. So starting out, we'll talk about Slammiversary.
Okay. The only thing I was really looking forward to was the Von Erichs. I didn't think it was that bad of a show. But, you know, I haven't been watching TNA for a bit of a long while. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since I've watched an Impact episode in full. I mean, when you have, like, NXT going on at the same time, and, you know, that's been a better show, and, you know, I do another podcast that's just off for a month. It just seems as though, to me, you know, TNA, it's just pretty bad. But at least we got a pretty decent main event out of it. But I was looking more forward to the Von Erich boys and Kevin Von Erich appearing.
Yeah, that was exciting. And Marshall and Ross, you know, are green, but they looked pretty good. And they defeated the Bromans, Jesse and DJZ. We don't know where Robbie E was. He wasn't there. I think he's doing some reality show with what's-her-face, Brooke Testmacher.
Yeah,
something.
I think what they're doing is the Amazing Race on CBS.
Oh, okay. So that's what they're... Okay, they're doing Amazing Race. But, yeah, the Von Erichs looked good. Marshall and Ross, and which one of them wrestles without barefoot, just like his old man. And it was cool to see Kevin, and Kevin did the claw, and the place went nuts when he did that. It was a smart move to debut them in Dallas, where the Von Erich family were, you know, legendary at the old Sportatorium. Top to bottom a pretty solid pay-per-view, I thought. I'm glad to see that Sonata will be staying in TNA for a while. Mm-hmm. He successfully defended the X Division title, so I guess he's sticking around. He's not going back to Japan just yet.
I think the deal with him is he's on one of those learning excursions, so he's just learning,
yeah,
like wrestling here, you know.
Yeah, then TNA and Noah.
No.
Is he with, not anymore.
Nope.
New Japan.
Wrestle One.
Wrestle One, thank you, which Muda's involved with,
yes,
correct? So they have a talent exchange program or a talent working relationship, it would appear.
Right.
I don't know who they've sent over there from TNA, but I'm sure they will at some point if they haven't already. I was disappointed to see that Bobby Lashley defeated Samoa Joe. I think that, you know, Samoa Joe was kind of, he's kind of being jobbed out. It was good to see Magnus beat Willow. Jeff Hardy, needs to become an enhancement talent at this point for the younger guys. And, that was the right thing to do. Austin Aries beat Kenny King in a pretty decent match. That's what you got, what you expected in that one. Some high spots and whatnot. Angelina Love, defeated, Gail Kim, which, you know, I like Gail Kim.
Yeah.
But I like Angelina Love, so I'm a winner in either
right
way. Ethan Carter III defeated Bully Ray in a Texas death match. And good to see Bully Ray put over Ethan Carter III. Just like the way, you know, Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray right now are kind of, if you look at this pay-per-view, we're probably the two most experienced veterans on this card. And they put over young guys. Because that's what you have to do, to build the brand, I think. And Mr. Anderson defeated James Storm. And that was a decent match. And Eric Young defended the title against Bobby Lashley and Austin Aries in a steel cage. Top to bottom, decent pay-per-view.
Yeah, I thought it was
a
slamming good time, I guess.
Yeah, and, 12 years of Impact Wrestling. It's a shame that 12 years, in those 12 years has Impact/TNA grown? I would say no. Unfortunately, it hasn't. TNA has gone through periods of good times, bad times. I think that the Hogan experiment in 2010, that was a complete disaster. And now they are recovering from that still. And I think they're doing the right thing. That they're not right now, the roster is made up of a lot of younger guys, organic talent, and then a couple of veterans, but not saturated with just washed up WWE guys like they've done in the past. So we'll see what happens with Impact Wrestling. We'll see what happens when they get their new television deal from Spike, which as of this time they still have not worked out a new deal.
Right.
So
who is this rebel chick?
A former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. And she's with the Menagerie, which it makes up is Mike Knox, or Knox as they're calling him now, the Freak, which is Rob Terry, and Crazy Steve, who is just some indie guy, I think from like Canada. So, you know, they're like a dark carnival type of stable.
Mm.
And Rebel can do the splits. She's pretty hot.
Mm. Okay.
So,
yeah, I just looked her up. It's like, oh, okay. Her name is Tania Brooks.
Mm.
That's her.
Tania Brooks. Sounds like a hot chick name.
Mm.
So, yeah, she's pretty hot. So, yeah, Impact Wrestling. You know, the one thing I wanted
to... Tania Brooks is 35 years old, though.
Wow.
She's older than the both of us.
Yeah. She could teach us a thing or two. Or she could teach anybody.
She looks, I'm looking at some of her pictures now. I mean, this may have been old pictures, but she looks like she could be like 5 years younger, or our age.
Okay. I don't know where they found her, or maybe she was training at a school somewhere. Because I don't know.
Well, she's an actress and a model, so you know how.
Yeah. Which means that she probably got into wrestling because she couldn't get any other work.
Or be friends with Christy Hemme.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, apparently she's friends with Christy Hemme.
Oh, okay. Well, Christy Hemme at one point, I think she was a wrestling fan, but she was definitely a model back in the day. She was one of the juggies on the Man Show.
Right.
Before she got into wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, are we moving on, Phil, to something else? Or he wants to move on to something else.
Phil says, all right, well, we'll move on to the WWE. And this has been a bad week for the WWE the last 7 days or so. Yeah. 11 people got released.
All right, and who were they?
Let's go down the list and give our thoughts and analysis. First of all, hold on one sec.
What are you doing? Who?
The chosen one? The chosen one, Drew McIntyre, got released.
Okay, who's next? Okay, who are the other ones?
All right, anyway, sorry, I wanted to play some Drew I just wanted to play some Drew's his theme song, since he was the chosen one.
Well,
come on, he was the chosen
one. Well, none of us could hear it here in the studio, but let's run down the list.
Okay. All right, Jinder Mahal, Oksana, Kurt Hawkins, Holla Holla, Teddy Long, Camacho, Brodus Clay, Evan Bourne, Yoshitatsu, and that's it. So
is that 11?
WWE.
Was that 11 releases?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
11.
You forgot JTG.
Oh, JTG, who, what the fuck? Like, didn't even know he was on the payroll anymore.
All right, I got the list. So, yeah, Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, Oksana, Kurt Hawkins, Teddy Long, Camacho, Brodus Clay, Evan Bourne, Yoshitatsu, referee Mark Harris, and JTG.
Yes.
So, Theodore Long, I think his contract ran out, so.
And they didn't renew it.
He can go wherever. Yeah. And I've heard, like, Kurt Hawkins is already taking indie bookings.
Well, found work fast. I mean, I'd say the biggest disappointments, the two guys that stuck out to me that had the most potential to ever be any stars, to be a star, was Drew McIntyre and Evan Bourne. And unfortunately, both of them, didn't happen.
But the thing with that is Evan Bourne's been injured, and I think he had been healed up and just waiting for a chance to get back in. So it's like, well, what the fuck? I mean, are you going to use the guy or what?
Didn't help that he had failed some wellness policy tests too, twice. So that's what I think put him in the doghouse. Now Drew McIntyre, what put him in the doghouse? I really don't think it was his fault. You know, his high profile relationship or marriage with Tiffany.
Don't you mean Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar. Taryn Terrell, whatever you want to call
her. No, not her. Yeah. I was talking about Drew.
Yeah, because they referred to him as like Mr. Tiffany or Mr. Terrell because he just kind of did whatever she said.
Right.
I mean, she's a hot chick, so he was on cloud nine. And then, of course, that cloud nine blew up when they got into a drunken brawl at a hotel in L.A., and Tiffany ended up getting arrested.
Well, good thing Drew didn't hit her back, because otherwise, he'd be in a lot of shit.
Oh, absolutely.
So, at least, remember we were talking about that way back when it happened? When was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, wasn't it, during SummerSlam weekend?
Something like that, yeah. And we were saying, his girlfriend beat him up. What, some people were saying, oh, what a pussy. But I remember thinking, okay, if he responded by punching her in the face, what do you think the reaction would have been?
Oh, that he's a woman beater.
Exactly.
There's a double standard when it comes to, when it comes to men and women hitting each other. It's okay for a woman to slap a man, although it isn't.
Well, this is my deal. I don't care what set of genitals you have under your pants. If you hit me, I'm hitting you back.
I understand, but you understand that generally the man ends up going to jail, usually, if he hits the woman back.
Yeah. That's what's unfortunate.
Tiffany, though, ended up actually getting...
And then people wonder why wrestling fans mark out when, women get hit by the male wrestlers.
Yeah. I mean, Drew McIntyre... I think he was destined to fail, though. It did, and again, not his fault, but that whole chosen one thing, when Vince McMahon said he's the chosen one, that was probably, that was not going to help. Yeah, you knew that wasn't going to work. That was too...
But two ones that really stood out to me, well, other than Oksana, but at least Naomi is glad she's gone. you know Camacho is Tongan?
Didn't. Former tag team partner of Hunico.
Yeah, I think Camacho is Tongan. Yeah, okay. He is, his real name, Phil's bringing it up for me here. His real name is Tevita Fifita. He's actually, I think his dad is Haku. Yeah, that's Haku's son.
Oh, okay. Well, another second generation guy that, join that long list of second generation guys that are, don't make it in the business.
Yeah, we should talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
All right. Brodus Clay. Why did he get released? They could have done a monster heel gimmick with him. And remember, he was being so hyped about this monster heel coming in, and all of a sudden he debuts as the Funkasaurus.
The Funkasaurus. Oh my God, Brodus. He was a former bodyguard to Snoop Dogg or something, right? I mean, he was a tough dude, bad guy, and they made him a joke. They dusted off the old Flash Funk gimmick, and they gave it to Brodus Clay, and they thought this time it was going to work. Didn't work with Too Cold Scorpio. Why the hell was it going to work with Brodus Clay? And it didn't. I'm not on WWE Creative. I don't know. Some idiot from Creative must have thought that Flash Funk was a great character that, if done right, probably could have worked, I guess. But I have no idea. Maybe Vince, we're going to call you Brody. We're going to make you dance. The Funkasaurus. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
God.
my terrible Vince McMahon impersonation.
We're not going to make you. We're going to call you Puke. We're going to call you...
We're going to...
Puke.
That's right. We're going to make you dance with two old chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be the Funka, not the Brontosaurus, but the Funkasaurus.
Yes. You're going to be the...
Thank you.
Well, see ya.
Well, thank you, Mr. McMahon, for this wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, but...
Anyway.
Yoshitatsu. I think we spoke about him in our...
Yoshi... And poor Yoshi's career went downhill when it got leaked on the internet. Not by him, but by somebody that he wants beat up Sheamus in a real fight in their, like, townhouse that they all rented in Tampa back when they were in Developmental together.
Yep, that's what I heard, too.
Over a protein shake or something
like that.
Yoshi's a trained boxer. Yoshi probably could have been he could have been better used, but they made him a comedy act because Vince McMahon thinks Asian people are funny. Well, so, I mean, look at what they've done with everybody they've ever brought in that's pretty much been from Japan. They made him a joke. They made Tajiri a joke. They made Kai and Tai a joke.
Dude, Kai and Tai was awesome. Come on.
They were, but they made him a joke. You know, Val Venus, we choppy choppy your pee-pee.
Wait. We are evil.
That's right.
Indeed. They even got a shirt, dude. I mean, come on.
And they made Tajiri, Steve Regal's servant. He served tea to Steven Regal.
just don't besmirch William Regal's tea or Steven Regal's
that's
tea.
That's right. You besmirched my tea. Evan. Yeah, it's again. This is all because of WWE's lost a massive amount of money in a shorter period of time because of. And I think you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I predicted, or we kind of predicted, that our release is coming because of all this money loss. I guess the answer is yes. And I'm sure there's more to come down the road.
Right.
And so, you know, everybody in WWE's got to be on edge right now. Who's losing their job and who's not losing their job? I would say... That two members of three-man band got released, that probably Heath Slater's got to be on that chopping block.
Well, he was on Raw this past Monday.
Yeah, but notice how fast they jobbed him out. It reminded me of Umaga versus Scotty Goldman, 2009, SmackDown.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And the biggest shock for me, though, other than, like, is JTG. Like, what the fuck? He was still with the company? You know, he actually tweeted after he got released. He said, "Damn, why I pick up my phone?" Huh. He probably shouldn't have answered it.
Who knows?
Triple H. "Hey, pal, you're going to be released. Good luck in your future endeavors. Here's a sledge. I'm sending you a sledgehammer in the mail. Compliments of the WWE.
Yeah.
That is my Triple H.
Okay.
So, moving on, we've got Money in the Bank coming up, and the build-up for it, I have not been satisfied with. I'm not happy that it would appear that...
WWE is just messing up during the summer like they usually are. There's always this lull during the summertime. It's like, this should be like... when you have, like, your best angles because the kids are out of school.
Yeah, and SummerSlam.
Wait, it's not SummerSlam.
SummerScam.
Yeah. Good work.
Is the number two pay-per-view behind WrestleMania. It's supposed to be, anyway. And why do they always just, for some reason, they get WrestleMania right a lot of times. SummerSlam, not as much, you know?
And aren't they doing it in Los Angeles again?
Probably. That seems
thing. Phil, look that up for a sec. See if SummerSlam's in Los Angeles again. All right. Go ahead.
It seems to be the thing because they like to do it in, you know, because, oh, we're going to do it in Hollywood. We're going to do it, you know, SummerSlam is the biggest... party of the summer in the city of stars or whatever.
Yeah, it is going to be in L.A. again.
Yeah.
It's like,
again.
Why?
Vince, I guess WWE feels like they want to have a good relationship with Hollywood for some reason. And so in the summertime, let's do a big show out in L.A. Except WWE Films has been crap, you know? Like, as far as the movies they've made haven't made any money. And I wouldn't be surprised if, in a couple of years, they scrapped that whole WWE Films thing. Because I doubt it's made a lot of money.
Oh, it's going to be permanently hosted there.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
Summer scam.
Now it is. Now it's truly a scam because they just want to get all the Hollywood stuff into it and shit like that.
Yeah, they want the stars to be there. And, the B-list, D-list celebrities do show up. You know, Corey Feldman will be there this year. You know, someone like that.
Marg Helgenberger's not a D-list star? You're saying she's a D-list star?
Who?
Marg Helgenberger. She's on CSI.
Oh, okay. No, I guess not.
Yeah. Marg Helgenberger. She's on CSI. She's a wrestling fan.
Okay.
So is, Adam Sandler and, who the fuck's that guy? Rob Schneider.
Okay.
They might, there's a lot of people in Hollywood that are wrestling fans and probably wouldn't admit it. How about Michelle, well, actually Michelle Beadle's more E-list, but I'd still yeah. like, snuggle right next to her and say, let's watch Raw.
I would, too. That's true. I mean... And look, Kevin Hart was on Raw this past Monday, and what a terrible, segment that was, but he was promoting a movie coming out Friday, Think Like a Man or whatever, Steve Harvey's crappy book. Or I guess it's not a crappy book because a lot of people bought it, but I wouldn't buy it. But anyway, yeah, Kevin Hart looked like he didn't want to be there, to be honest. He looked like he was not thrilled to be on Raw.
Yeah.
But... somebody said, hey, you need to go on Raw and promote this movie. So he did. So I'm not happy with the buildup for Money in the Bank. I'm not happy with who's in the Money in the Bank. I'm not happy that John Cena's in it. I'm not happy that Randy Orton's in it. I don't want to see either of them win the title. I'm Bray Wyatt's in it. I'm excited about that. Right. And I'm happy Cesaro's in it. I think those are my two picks. But if Dan was booking this thing, Brock Lesnar would be in it. And Brock Lesnar would win the title. And Brock Lesnar would hold on to the title until SummerScam.
Mm. Well, who's in the Money in the Bank again? It's Sheamus, Cesaro, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, what is it?
John Cena.
John Cena. Who are the other two?
I'm pulling it up now. Let's see. Yeah, Alberto Del Rio, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Cesaro, Bray Wyatt, John Cena. And so whoever wins it will win the title, since Daniel Bryan is out with a neck injury for... We're not sure. It has. It could be longer than expected, right? We heard maybe even wasn't it reported he may not even be back in time for SummerScam.
Yeah, he may not be back by SummerSlam. So that's going to be a hell of a.
I think I want Cesaro to win the title, and I wanted to set up Cesaro versus Brock at SummerSlam. Now, do we want to see a John Cena, Brock Lesnar rematch? I sure as hell don't. And I don't care about Randy Orton. Del Rio, when they have given him the title, when he did win the title, I think he's been a bust. For some reason, I don't like, I don't get excited about Alberto Del Rio anymore. He just doesn't seem like he had, he seems like he's missing something these days. I don't know. Sheamus, no way. Roman Reigns, God.
We got to talk about, one of the... I think two major talking points we should touch on this week are second-generation wrestlers and the Shield breakup, because I don't see Roman Reigns as becoming huge, you know what I mean? And I think... But let's talk about this match first. and then we'll go on to
that.
But okay, Roman Reigns and go ahead.
Roman Reigns and what?
What were you saying? Like Roman Reigns, he's too green.
Too green.
Yeah.
To win the title at this point, yeah, too green.
Yeah. Okay. Although I did listen to Oh yeah, it was Wrestling Observer Radio, and like I think Brian Alvarez had a real real interesting scenario. And I think what happened, I think what he said was, yeah, Brock Lesnar come in, and then he beats the crap out of everybody in the ladder match, and then he says, you know, lower the damn belts, and they lower the belts, and you know that sort of thing, and then he just gets the belts, and then you know, then he just beats up everybody until SummerSlam when Brian gets the belts back. But I think like Brian probably won't be back by SummerSlam. But how about Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania?
Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean that could be good. If you don't screw it up.
Well,
and you don't want to make Brock look like a weakling. You need to have Brock then go on a tear through the WWE where he just basically destroys everybody. And until WrestleMania. Now, if it's done right, it could be very good. But remains to be seen. Brock Lesnar right now doesn't seem to be like they're considering him for Money in the Bank at all. So, and I can't figure out why. Why aren't we capitalizing on the guy who ended the Undertaker's streak? You know, what? So far, he's done nothing since he's ended the Undertaker's streak. So the question is, what was the point of him ending the Undertaker's streak and to keep him sitting at home doing nothing for months?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Again, to the reason, why did a part-time guy, the guy that wrestles very limitedly, end the Undertaker's streak?
Yeah.
Still doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think if anybody was going to end the streak, Brock would probably be the most legitimate guy to do it, because at least, one, he's a legit fighter. You know what I mean? He's actually legit. I mean, he did win the UFC heavyweight title, but I think, like, okay, well, that's, you know, I think he was fed some tomato cans before then, but still, I mean, you know, he was still heavyweight champ. And at least Brock has that, you know, that aura of, man, this guy could beat up anybody because, you know, look at him.
Yeah.
And I heard Undertaker had a concussion during the match, and I think, like, Shawn Michaels said on, like, the Ross Report podcast that that decision was made, like, 4 hours before showtime.
Yeah, I heard that, too. It's still, you know, it's a question that'll never be answered fully, why Brock Lesnar was chosen to end the Undertaker streak. Only, as Shawn Michaels even said, there's one man that knows the answer to that, and he probably won't ever, and he may not even know he may not even know why.
Mm.
You know, Vince is so nuts and delusional, it just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, didn't you tell me something like Vince has, like, problems, like, coming to a decision on everything, or at least that's what you heard?
It's been reported that he changes his mind a lot now. And it's frustrating the talent. Like Triple H goes and tells them, yeah, we're going to do it this way. And then Vince will tell Triple H he's changed his mind. And then he has to go tell them that's not going to happen. We're going to do it differently because Vince changed his mind. Mm-hmm. Just seems like – I think Vince should stay away from creative at this point. Like, of course, you're never going to tell Vince McMahon what to do with his company ever.
Right.
And nobody will. And but I think he's – you know. He's 70 years old. He doesn't know what's cool anymore. There comes a point where you get out of touch with, you know, with what's in. And I think Vince is definitely at that point. He doesn't know anything about pop culture anymore. He doesn't know anything about what's cool, what kids today want to see. I think he doesn't – he's not with it anymore. And when your time has passed in that regard, you shouldn't be, he shouldn't be part of creative, you know, with the product.
Right.
But he's such a control freak. He wants everything approved. You know, it's not going to happen unless Vince McMahon says so. I mean, that's just how Vince is. But somebody needs to, you know, say, Vince, it's time to step away from creative. Maybe Triple H. Maybe Triple H and Stephanie should do it. Try to do it together. Maybe they have, and Vince tells them to go to hell and get out of my office.
Get out!
Get the hell out of my office, you son of a bitch!
Get out of my office.
I mean, he's nuts, you know. He thought it was a great idea to start a club where he'd pull down his pants and people would literally kiss his ass at one point.
Right.
It was a pretty nice ass.
And he can make it do tricks.
Oh God, he's gonna make it do tricks.
Well, also remember, Vince is also the genetic jackhammer.
That's
so does
right.
that make Triple H the genetic sledgehammer?
I think so, yeah. That sounds about accurate. The genetic sledgehammer.
And the genetic, the genetic jackhammer, and then there's the genetic sledgehammer. We're full of genetic hammers.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about the Shield?
Yeah. Why do I get the feeling Roman Reigns is not going to be the guy that WWE thinks he's going to become? Why do I get the feeling like Roman Reigns, it's not a knock on the guy, but, you know, I kind of want to call it, I think I was talking to you about this yesterday when we were, like, having our coffee up at Pete's Coffee and Tea in Bethesda. By the way, we do frequent that place. Or at least I do. I don't know about Dan. But I'll have to take you there one time. But you don't like Bethesda, do you?
I do like Bethesda.
Oh, you do?
I go to Bethesda. Yeah.
You call it Bitch-thesda.
I don't want to get into it, but yes, I like Bethesda.
Okay.
And I drink a lot of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, but anyway.
We were talking about this, and we, I think we were calling it the Kenny Dykstra syndrome, or Kenny Dykstra.
The curse of Kenny, how about the curse of Kenny
or
Dykstra?
Or more like the Kenny Dykstra effect.
The Kenny Dykstra effect, which Roman Reigns right now has all the potential to be. He's the guy that's been picked to be the breakout star of the Shield. When they, whoever they are, choose you to be the guy, sometimes you don't end up being the guy. Because, of course, you know, there's all this expectations on you to be the guy, and then you don't live up to the expectations and to the hype. It's almost going back to, like, you know, we were talking about earlier with Drew McIntyre. The chosen one. Like, they literally said, this guy's the chosen one. He's going to be the next big star. And then he wasn't.
Right.
And Roman Reigns has two things going against him. He's being a second generation or third generation star like he is, because he's a member of the Inouye family. Sometimes that puts a you don't live up to that.
Right.
He has a lot to live up to do just for that reason. And two, he's been picked to be the guy. Now, Kenny Dykstra was picked to be the guy, but we know who became the guy from the Spirit Squad. It was Dolph Ziggler, who was nobody, you know, he wasn't picked to be anything. They remember what they did with him after the Spirit Squad broke up. They made him Kerwin White's caddy. So,
right.
He looked like he was on his way out the door and was going to be, you know, wishing luck. Johnny Ace was going to be calling him soon and wishing him luck in his future endeavors. But he's still on the payroll as Dolph Ziggler, and Kenny Dykstra, Ken Doan, is complaining about shit on the internet, on Twitter, about, you know, John Cena and Mickey James, Last Iron.
Right.
And who knows what he's doing now.
Yeah.
Who cares? So, I think that I think of the three of them, the Shield, I think the guy that probably has that's going to be the guy is Ambrose. That's what I think.
Yeah. Same here. I think, like, Ambrose has, he can talk.
Yeah.
He can work. You know, he's got that craziness to him. I think I was listening to Jim Ross's podcast. I think he compared him to, like, Brian Pillman somewhat.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, he's got a little bit of Brian Pillman. I mean, he can work. And I seem to think, I will say this, I just don't see Roman Reigns as being the guy. I just don't see it. I mean, you know, we were saying, like, you know, Roman Reigns, when we first heard, like, Roman Reigns was going to be pushed as the guy eventually, I was thinking, him? Really him? I mean, he just comes off as, like, a bodyguard type. He doesn't come off as the guy to lead a company.
He's like, you know, hey, Kevin Nash was that bodyguard type.
Well, and, yeah, but, you know, when he was on top.
I mean, he drew no money.
Yeah.
Diesel, you know, when Diesel won the title, and he held it for almost a year, it was one of the worst times for business in the WWE.
Yeah.
So, if they, you know, I don't think, if they want to go that route, put the title on this, on Roman Reigns, and have the same, you know, I don't know if I ever see Roman Reigns winning the title. I'd be very surprised, but I don't know. Yeah, Roman Reigns is not very good on the mic.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he say, I'm going to make you, instead of being the face of WWE, you're going to become the ass of WWE? I was like, wait, really? That's what he said?
Who, Triple H said
Roman
that?
Roman Reigns said that.
Randy
Orton. Yeah, it's like, I think it was on a Raw, like, either last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm like, really, okay, dude? I mean, come on.
I mean, I think it remains to be seen, but you and I think, are both in agreement that Dean Ambrose could be the guy. He could be the Dolph Ziggler, and that Roman Reigns will end up being Kenny Dykstra.
Right.
And that's what we're predicting. But you know what? We could be wrong.
Right.
Another thing that happened in the WWE was, we forgot to mention, there was another firing. Of Vince McMahon fired the head writer, Jay Gibson. Now, here's my question. Who the fuck is Jay Gibson?
Yeah.
He's
not as famous as some of the other head writers.
Or like, yeah, like a Kevin Dunn or Stephanie or Brian Gewurtz. Who was the guy that did that podcast, The Art of Wrestling? Dave Lagana?
No, not The Art of Wrestling is Colt Cabana. You're thinking of I Want Wrestling. And Dave Lagana, that motherfucker blocked me on Twitter. But I actually hit up Court Bauer over that over Twitter. He said, consider yourself lucky.
Huh.
Because he's a sleazebag, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, Court Bauer seems like a decent guy. He was a writer for the WWE for quite some time, and now he's working for Ring of Honor, and he has a great show that you're a big fan of, MLW Radio, that has K-Dog, Conan, who's very good on that show, and he likes to go to Iran a lot.
Yeah, I was over in Iran this past weekend.
Huh, I see. Did you get some kebab?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So, yeah, Jay Gibson was fired by Vince McMahon. Supposedly, this guy was the head writer.
Right.
Vince, obviously, unhappy with all the money he's lost. And they're trying to trim the payroll. I guess this guy, Jay Gibson, he must have been a stooge, just some guy that answered to Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Because I thought Stephanie was the head writer.
No, she's, like, the head of creative. She can, like, say stuff, but I think Vince has the final say on everything.
Okay. Now, I wonder if Vince really... Did Vince fire him, or did Triple H, you know, call him on the phone and fire him on the phone?
I don't know. Who cares? I mean, some people be like, well, who the fuck cares about that? It's like a fucking thing.
Yeah. So, I don't know how long even Jay Gibson was with the company or who he was, really, but he was the head writer, and he's been fired. So, we wish him well in his future endeavors. So, whatever those are.
Yeah.
So what else is, is there anything else worth mentioning in the WWE?
I don't think so.
Oh, wait a minute. There's one thing to talk about. We saw the debut Monday of Stardust.
I actually quite like it.
Oh, my God. So, basically, Cody is now... going to be the next Goldust.
Dude, that's awesome. They've now bonded.
That's true.
I quite like it. It's like, Stardust. It's written in the stars.
Oh, wait, there's something. Yeah, I mean, I guess it could work. There's another thing. Oh, yeah, Paige. Reportedly, Paige is not well-liked.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. I did want to get to that. But we were going to talk about second-generation wrestlers or whatever. I think this might actually transition over to that. But, yeah, let's talk about that, and then we'll wrap it up with the Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up this coming Sunday as we're recording this. Anyway, apparently Vince is not really high on the Adam Rose gimmick, and he's also not really high on Paige for some reason. I'm like, really? I mean, he must be out of touch.
Well, maybe Vince doesn't like, you know, girls with pale skin and dark hair for some reason.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know what Vince is into. If she slept with him, he'd probably be into her.
Of course.
Well, you know, yeah. which is always a possibility. Because he is Vince McMahon. Now, Paige is very young. She's like 21
years
old.
She's legal.
She may not, maybe she's not, I don't know if she's, you know, I don't know if she's for the older rich guy thing like a lot of women are, but maybe she has standards. I don't know. Maybe she wants to keep her job and stay the women's champion. You do that, you got to sleep with Vince McMahon.
What? What? You're fired.
Remember, he can make it do tricks.
That's right. He can make it do tricks.
So that's my advice to Paige. If you want to stay on top, if you sometimes to get ahead, you got to give some head.
To get ahead, give some. Wait, that might be the title of this week's episode. Here's how to get ahead. Give head to get ahead.
Right. I mean, you know, Vince likes sex. What can we say?
Don't you know that he is the genetic jackhammer?
That's right. And Vince isn't high on Adam Rose. I'm not very high on the all these, you know, this stupid him running around with a bunch of, like, weirdos. I mean, they look like they're on ecstasy or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
one other thing. Speaking of that, they're not going to fly anybody from NXT anymore to, like, be his rosebuds.
Oh, okay. Well, who are going to be his rosebuds?
The indie talent, I guess.
Oh, the local indie talent that they hire for the week or for the day, the night. So, like, Tara, for instance, from MCW, who we met when they're in Baltimore. Maybe she'll be a rosebud.
Why not?
Yeah. That's called money in her pocket.
Yep.
So, I don't know what to think of this guy. I think it's kind of a stupid gimmick that probably won't last. It's a comedy act.
Right.
You know, come on. I'm tired of these stupid comedy acts sometimes. I enjoy them. They make you laugh, but sometimes you want, like, you know, sometimes, like, if this guy's got, like, something in his background where he's, like, a tough guy, then let's use that. Like, say with, like, Yoshitatsu, for instance. Why, he was a trained boxer. The WWE never capitalized on the fact that this guy could really fight. Instead, they made him a ridiculous, you know, goofy dude from Japan who never won any matches. But, yeah, Adam Rose, you know, he'll be released in a year or two, probably. Unless he can be a break, you know. That's the thing. You sometimes have to make gold out of shit, basically, in the WWE.
You have to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, you mean.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, the best example in the world, and it's pretty cliche at this point, is Stone Cold Steve Austin. I know I've said this before. Stone Cold Steve Austin was made the ringmaster. It sucked. It wasn't getting over. Steve Austin hated it. He wasn't happy that Ted DiBiase was his manager because Steve Austin can talk. So what did Steve Austin do? He came up with an idea on his own to be Stone Cold. He pitched it to Vince or creative. They said, okay, pal. Yeah, pal. We'll try it. Guess what? It worked. And Stone Cold Steve Austin went from being a mid-card guy who looked like he was going to be released to becoming the biggest star that this industry has ever seen. So you have to be creative. You have to be proactive and not reactive if you want to make it in this business. So if you're handed a shitty gimmick like this Adam Rose party, you know, club partier guy, Adam Rose needs to think of something. If it sucks, try to make it better, or think of something else and pitch it to creative and see if they're down with it.
Yeah.
I doubt he came up with this himself. This definitely looks like it was thought up, you know, cooked up by some idiot in creative, and that's why it sucks. So.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, you want to talk about second generation wrestlers?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Camacho earlier, and, you know, he's not doing anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he got released. You notice that a lot of second generation wrestlers, most of them don't seem to equal the success of their parents, whoever their parent is. Because, you know, Paige is a second generation wrestler.
Yeah, like her whole family's like in the wrestling business. They run a damn promotion in England.
Yeah. So there was that. And I don't know, the jury's still out on her. I mean, Natalya, she's a third generation star, but I don't think I don't think she's getting like the stardom that everybody thinks she is. Like everybody seems to think like she's like better than sliced bread or something, but I don't know. It just sounds like, you know, she's not really making it. And you know, what other? I mean, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Failure. Yeah, that was a bust.
Well, he was a bust, but I think he wanted to spend time with his kid, and he's got like a degree in like business management, so I mean, he'll be okay. But you know, there's another. Yeah.
I'd say the two. You know, look, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. Brooke Hogan was an impact for a while, bust. Didn't do anything. David Flair, bust.
Dude, David Flair is like the man, dude. I mean, when he was in WCW, he was like getting all the chicks.
He was getting all the chicks, but, you know, as far as his wrestling
ability. Dude, he was dating Stacy Keibler.
I know. I'm sure he misses that. And she's now married to some celebrity, some guy.
Some guy.
I don't know what his name is. Well, some guy after George Clooney and her split, all of a sudden she got married real quickly. I don't know the guy's name. But lucky her, or lucky him, I guess. Poor David Flair. Yeah, second generation, Eric Watts, Greg Gagne.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could have been a... Shane McMahon was pretty good. You know, I always enjoyed anything Shane McMahon did, because he was crazy.
Yeah. I would say, like, the list of... I would say, like, the list of wrestlers... who are second generation and third generation, I think, like, there's a longer list of those who haven't succeeded than those who have. Like, Bret Hart is a second generation guy. He succeeded.
He may be the greatest second generation wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I mean, when I was talking about Natalya, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, she's an IWC darling, but I don't think she'll probably become, like one of the best.
Although I will have to point this out, it's an exception. It's not the rule. Obviously, The Rock is a second generation wrestler, and he's the most wealthiest professional wrestler there is today.
No, Rock is a third generation.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but you know, remember there was a point where it looked like The Rock may have been a bust. I mean. Rocky Maivia, the blue chipper and crap.
Yep.
I mean, Flex, if they called him Flex Cavana at one point, I mean, he was not getting over.
And then he decided to just use it and turn it into a positive. And, well, there you go. Look at him now.
Jim Ross actually claims he once told The Rock, you know, to start speaking in third person. And that's when he started doing it.
I thought it was Pat Patterson.
Oh, maybe it was Pat. Multiple people are taking the credit for that. But, you know, The Rock is the most successful. Okay, he's the most successful second or third generation wrestler there is, The Rock, without question. Not Bret Hart, but Bret Hart's up there. But those two are an exception. They're not the rule. For every Rock and Bret Hart, there's 20 guys, 30 guys that were second generation wrestlers that went nowhere.
Yep.
and didn't live up to the
I would say like Dustin Rhodes has had relative success.
Yeah. And Cody's decent.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like Dustin is probably more successful than Cody, but I mean, it's all relative. And I think you know, he's had some pretty good stuff. I mean, the original Goldust, I mean, hey, that was actually a pretty good gimmick back in the day.
Now here's one of the worst that I can remember of a second generation wrestler, and they made him a total joke. Stan the Man Stasiak, son, Sean Stasiak. We'll bring him in and we'll call him Meat.
Oh God.
They called him Meat. And that was pretty much the it wasn't well done, Meat. That's for sure.
But remember when he went to WCW and then he was called Perfect Sean?
Oh yeah, that was a Russo idea to mock Kurt Hennig. And but Sean Stasiak definitely did very little in the wrestling business, and he was a second generation star, but probably had one of the worst names ever in the history of wrestling. We'll call him Meat. God only knows what Vince was thinking that day. So tell me about yourself, pal. I like hamburgers. You do? I will call you Meat. Or maybe he doesn't eat.
I don't
meat.
Know.
Maybe it was a rib. Yeah. Maybe he told, or a McRib. He told Vince he was like, you know, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. And then he's like, really? Well, we'll call you Meat. I mean, who knows what this, you know. That would be a good story. If we ever get have Sean Stasiak on this show, we got to ask him, who the hell came up with the idea to call you Meat?
Sean Stasiak would never do this show, and you know it.
What's he doing? Why wouldn't he do our show? What the hell is he doing now? Nothing. Maybe if we paid him.
Please. We don't have the budget for it.
$50?
That $50 is going into Phil's vodka collection.
We might be able to raise the money. We'll do a campaign on what? Fundthis.com.
Kickstarter.
We want to get an interview with Sean Stasiak.
Oh, God.
Do you think anybody would donate any money? No. Probably not. I'll pay you a dollar to shut up. Anyway, so I don't know why I went off on Sean Stasiak. Just because he had the worst name ever. Meat. So I think this segment of the show is well done.
So that'll be it for this show this week. We do have to talk about Ring of Honor, which was I was getting to.
Okay. So Ring of Honor has their first ever live on pay-per-view. They've done pay-per-views, but this is, you know, all major cable providers will be showing this pay-per-view this Sunday. Best in the World. Where is the card? Phil had it for me.
Wait a minute.
Here, I'll find it. I had it up.
By the way, here's some backstage nudes on the Shield status with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
It appears this past week on Raw, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns had split up. They didn't appear together, now have their own theme songs. There is not going to be a formal split between Reigns and Ambrose, but they are supposed to be going their separate ways.
That's stupid. They should have had, like, an in-the-ring segment where they just agreed that they were going their separate ways. Mm. And the music hits. They do the pose together. You know, this is it. You know, I respect you, you respect me, but it's time to move on, buddy. And good luck. That's dumb. Just bad. That's just bad writing. So Best in the World 2014 will be this Sunday, coming from Nashville, Tennessee, at the old Tennessee State Fairgrounds Sports Arena. I think that's where they used to do Impact.
I believe that is the case.
Yeah, TNA started there in the beginning. So it should be a hot crowd. Remember back then, they used to have the heel section. So a bunch of fans would show up to the TNA shows, and they were the heels, like they, you know. So they would cheer all the heels intentionally. I heard it kind of pissed off. They tried to do away with it because they was pissing off Jarrett or somebody, that you had basically fans that were intentionally cheering the heels. But anyway, So this pay-per-view will be, yeah, this Sunday. The main event is Adam Cole versus Michael Elgin. Adam Cole is the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. Michael Elgin is a big, he's kind of a big, jacked-up looking dude. And I think since this is a big pay-per-view.
Yeah. What? Wait. What? Since you thought this was a big pay-per-view, what? The line cut out.
Oh, since this is like a big, you know, this is their first real pay-per-view. And, you know, I think a title change would probably be the appropriate thing to make an impact. So hopefully Michael Elgin wins the title from Adam Cole. But we'll see. I don't know. Then you got the Briscoe brothers, Jay and Mark, versus Matt Hardy and Mike Bennett. You know, Mike, we know all about Mike Bennett. He's Mr. Maria.
And, you know, I actually saw Maria at that TV tapings we went to at that that indoor soccer place. She's shorter than I thought she would be.
Yeah, I guess she's not, you know, she's probably like, what, 5-something? I mean, she's 5'6", 5'5", maybe.
By the way, I'm reading this Vice thing on my iPad. Reasons why Washington, D.C. is the worst place ever.
Well, they're about, yeah, they may change the name of the Redskins, but I don't want to get into that.
They better not.
Pissed me, anyway, stupid government could.
Stupid PC stuff. You know, we need to do something on, like, political correctness in wrestling in the future.
Okay, I'm all
for
that.
Yeah, we'll have to have a discussion on that, but not this week.
All right. Okay, and Roderick Strong is taking on Cedric Alexander. Now, I don't know much about Cedric Alexander. I know who Roderick Strong is. I've seen him wrestle in person. I've met him. I shook his hand. He was in TNA at one point, so hopefully Roderick Strong will beat Cedric Alexander. It's a submission match. I think Roderick Strong is a heel, though, so Cedric Alexander may win because he's probably the face in this match. Jay Lethal is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, and he's managed by Truth Martini, who is a heel manager who holds the Book of Truth. He talks like this: "I'm Truth Martini," and I like Truth Martini. And he's taking on Matt Taven. I'm a Jay Lethal mark, so of course I'm rooting for Jay Lethal in this match. And Matt Taven kind of looks like Pauly Shore, so he's the Weasel, wheezing a little juice. That was a terrible Pauly Shore impersonation. Where is Pauly Shore anyway? What happened?
By the way, here's another thing of this article: Washington D.C. is just Los Angeles for ugly people. So no, you know what? No wonder they don't hold SummerSlam here in D.C.
That's right. Well, actually, they did.
Well, they did. I went to that one.
You were there. So, yeah.
All I gotta say is, like, Shawn Michaels bumping around was crazy. But I will say that that was, like, it became really obvious that there was a Cena backlash building.
Okay.
But I'm sorry.
So, Kevin Steen will take on Silas Young in just a singles match, and if the reports are true that Kevin Steen signed with the WWE, this could be his final night in Ring of Honor, and my guess is he'll be losing this match because this may be his final night in Ring of Honor because he's leaving for the WWE. So there's a good chance maybe he'll get "you sold out" chance by the fans.
It's in Nashville. I don't think they're like going to. I don't think there are that many smart fans in Nashville. Well, actually, it is a big city, so there might be.
But it is TNA Impact country because that's where they're based. I mean, that's where their front office is in Nashville. Red Dragon, which is a team of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, will be taking on Christopher Daniels, the returning to Ring of Honor, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, a.k.a. Bad Influence.
Very nice.
For the tag team titles. I would assume that Chris and Frankie are going to win the tag titles. That would make sense, considering it's a big sign, bringing back two guys that, you know, two veterans that are popular, and that's actually a very good tag team. They were really good as Bad Influence, and they were really funny together, and they did a lot of good stunts, good segments in TNA, and I think Dixie Carter is an idiot for letting them go.
Mm.
But, you know, Dixie Carter is an idiot. So,
well, what would you expect
from Dixie?
Yeah,
she's an idiot.
Well,
I mean, she doesn't know what she's doing. Just ask AJ
Styles.
Well,
let's move on to card.
The final match. the final match of this pay-per-view that's listed is ACH versus Takaya Watanabe versus Caprice Coleman versus Tadarius Thomas versus BJ Whitmer and Tommaso Ciampa.
It's a six-man. One other thing. I think the Japanese guy you're talking about is Takaaki Watanabe.
Yeah, okay, Takaaki Watanabe.
Good work, Dan.
Thank you.
You've got it right.
Thank you. The six is a six-man mayhem match for a future Ring of Honor World Television Championship match. So I assume the winner of this match will be taking on Jay Lethal, unless Jay Lethal loses to Matt Taven. So I'm rooting for the Japanese guy.
Yeah, same here.
So
he's a New Japan Young Lion. He's like one of their their young boys. I think he's one of their like he's been wrestling for a while, but like they send him out on excursions, and this is his excursion. So he's like in Ring of Honor for a while.
So okay, so you and I, Ada and I, and the rest of the Action News team will definitely be watching this pay per view Sunday night, and we'll definitely talk about it next week. And I'm excited because, you know, Ring of Honor is the third biggest wrestling promotion in the United States, and it's good to see that they're growing, that they're now getting a real live pay-per-view. Hopefully it'll be successful. Hopefully it'll make money. Hopefully they'll do another one, be able to do another one and more in the future.
Mm.
Because right now the world of professional wrestling needs to grow. And, the better Ring of Honor and Impact does, the better it is for the guys to find, you know, they can't be in the WWE to go find work and get paydays.
Right.
So
I think that's going to be it.
All
right. So, unless you got anything else to say,
check out our Twitter page at Wired Wrestling on Twitter, and you can email us at wiredwrestling@yahoo.com. And if you do email us, we will read it. We will answer your questions. We will argue with you. We will debate you. We'll do whatever. You know, if you want to tell us we suck, we'll read that too.
By the way, we do have a Vimeo page. We have we have videos of wrestling matches up on there, so. Vimeo, Vimeo.com/wiredwrestling.
Okay.
So you can check that out.
Cool. Soon we might be launching a Facebook page. It's on Phil's to-do list, if he ever gets around to it. Phil's flicking, is he flicking me off right now?
No, he's passed out.
He's passed out. God. Yeah, so much for that wellness pop. Didn't we send him to rehab? How many times has corporate sent him to rehab?
You want
too many to count, right?
Something like that, maybe.
When are we meeting with corporate? We need to bring that up.
Well, you know the deal, man. You know the deal. You got to give head to get ahead.
Well, I don't know about that, but Jesus Christ, really? Well, to get rid of Phil, maybe I'll, you know, maybe I'll think about it.
Are you serious?
I don't know. Depends. I retract that last statement.
Right. But I will say this. to get ahead, you got to give ahead. Why does that not surprise me? Okay, so.
Anyway.
I think we have to get on out of here.
I think it's time to go. And we'll see you. I'm not going to steal Steve Austin's line. We'll see you on down the road because I'm stealing Steve Austin's line. But good night. Good night to the WWE universe, to the Wired Wrestling universe. Or how about the Wired Wrestling galaxy? How about that?
That's a good question. Do we talk about, the Wired Wrestling galaxy? There's the WWE universe.
Or the Wired Wrestling constellation.
We'll figure it out later.
Email us. What do you want? What does the Wired Wrestling audience want to be called?
No, the give head to get ahead guys.
Whoever out there is listening to this show, please email us.
No,
we want to know who you are.
There are heads. Because we
is Al Snow.
Yeah.
Where's Al Snow?
All right, so that'll do it for this week's Wired Wrestling. And remember, you gotta believe.
Believe, brother.